on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football.
Welcome to The Sound of Football. Yes, back again for another half an hour of male pattern rivalness. Here with me, Terry DeFillon and Jan Bilton. Hello, chaps.
Hello.
Hello.
Terry, how was your week?
Ribald.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It was good, and you know, I'm feeling charged by all the positive football role models that are out there.
Right? Oh, there are, aren't there?
Only on the way into work, I nutted a complete stranger.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, dear. Were you provoked?
No, I think I was just being quite emotional. I think from now on, I'm going to do is I'm just going to sort of like, you know, stand in the back at London Bridge and, you know, stay out of people's way.
Had you had something to drink?
It's entirely possible that I might have had some Alan Pardew fighting rum.
Alan Pardew fighting rum! Yes, well, I love a drop of Alan Pardew's fighting rum.
Yeah, I like a drop of it, but I do have to lock myself inside of some kind of secure facility. Otherwise, because I feel very violent when I drink.
But then again, there is a place for violence, I think, in this world. I mean, you know, who's to say what's right and wrong after you've had a few rums?
Well, after I've had a few rums, I'm the one who says what's right and wrong.
Exactly. And I think the FA panel would do wise to have a few fighting rums themselves.
Certainly in the mood for some fighting rums after all of that. And I think it would do them all good. I think it would do us all good if we all had some fighting rum and settled our difference in the traditional manner.
Yeah!
But putting our heads into somebody else's faces. He likes a scrap, doesn't he?
Do you think he's like just trying to become a bit more northeastern?
It could be getting to him.
I think that's what it is. He'll be punching horses next.
He comes from South London, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not averse to a scrap in that part of the world. So I don't think it's necessarily a northeastern.
Yeah, but let's face it. Like around this table, who would you think is the most likely to headbutt someone?
Terry.
Well, after my made-up anecdote, I can't blame you for coming to that conclusion.
No.
I am from Croydon.
No, I thought that anyway.
Yeah.
I am from Croydon, after all. I mean, and, you know. But, I mean, I am a peaceful man.
Except when you've had a bit of...
when I've had the fighting rum, that's different.
Alan Pardew's fighting rum.
We'd like to make it clear that we don't think that Alan Pardew was actually drunk when he did it, but it's... probably the most logical explanation we can find.
All right, so we have to disclaim it by saying, no, we don't think he was drunk, just violent. Well, that makes it all better.
Yeah, he wasn't drunk and violent.
That should please the lawyers.
He's got some standards.
That should please the lawyers no end.
Well, of course, we know how your weekend went, because you went to Wembley, didn't you?
I did go to Wembley.
But you had a good day, didn't you?
I did. I had a little drinky as well, but I didn't fight anyone.
Yeah, well, did you sneak it in?
Yeah.
In true Northern fan style.
Absolutely.
Careful now. The
festivities kicked off at about 10:30 in the Premier Inn car park.
10:30 on Friday.
In the morning on Friday. Yes. And it finished up late last night. A disappointing result. But a great day was had by all.
I'm sure it was. Really.
Yeah, it was great. It was the first time I've been to Wembley to see a major final.
Yeah,
and it was fantastic. Great ground, great atmosphere, and it was a great game. Apart from the second half, which was terrible.
It all went wrong in like 2 minutes, didn't it? Really,
it did. Yeah.
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 But like, how were you feeling though at the time? You took the lead after about 10 minutes, wasn't it?
And we did really well in the first half, and we could have had another through Barini. At half time there was a lot of positivity being imbibed by everyone concerned, then there was a bit of a come down when we all once we got out of the queue from the toilets and headed back up, and then suddenly Yaya put in his wonder goal. But you know, What can you do? What can you do?
Yes. You and your Uncle Richard must have been very disappointed.
Yeah, he really enjoyed himself. Yeah, he's a Crystal Palace fan, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Your Uncle Richard is a Crystal Palace fan?
He is.
What's that?
He's from down
here. Terry, what football club does your Uncle Richard support?
Well, I always had the feeling that he's had a hankering for Tottenham Hotspur, but, you know, I've never been able to coax the truth out of it. Him, sorry.
My Uncle Richard likes aerobics all-style, I think. So, a very disappointing result in the end, I suppose, given the fact that they gave you just a glimmer of hope there.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing, but, we were beaten by some spectacular finishes, it was a shame, but it was a really positive experience. It's not like they went there and capitulated.
Mm.
It
was, played better, apart from, obviously, the whole goals thing. They generally speaking, were the better team for the best part of the game, I would have thought.
Mm.
They certainly looked it.
Yeah, definitely. I think
I was sitting there watching it on the television, and it unfortunately was only about a minute or so before Yaya Toure's goal that I said, well, you know, this is silly because Sunderland are obviously better. So you know, the only way we're City going to get back into this is to produce a worldie from somewhere.
Yeah,
and of course that's what all that money does. Buy, isn't it? It'll buy for worldies. It was kind of my fault. I did feel a bit bad for thinking that. You know, I should have kept my mind shut.
Yeah,
you should have kept your mind shut.
And just enjoyed the game and just not attempted to analyse it.
Mm.
Because then sure enough, you know, and it was I don't know what I'm interested to see. Obviously, it's massively informed by your state of mind and your desire to see the opposition win. But I mean, what did you have a view on the goals? Did you get a good view of the goals and? You know, were you thinking, my God, they were great goals, or were you thinking, oh...
I saw Touris, and that was, I was kind of, just behind. You see it on the telly, and it's slowed down so many times, but it's just when it happens, and then everyone
it's
goes
just
mental.
Out of nowhere. It's difficult to gauge. You know, you see a big one. Oftentimes, those kind of goals are better appreciated on the television because they can show multiple angles, show it over and over again, whereas when you're there at the time... Yeah. Particularly, you know, if you're supporting the opposition team, it's an entirely separate set of emotions that go there.
Exactly.
So if it's any consolation, I mean, they were both. I mean, there's Nasri's goal as well, were both absolutely right from the top draw.
Yeah, they were.
And they needed it as well. I mean, that's what Sunderland, I think, also can draw from it as well, is that City needed to produce something really, really special to get themselves out of the hole that they'd found themselves in. And this is because Sunderland played really, really well, but... Yeah, it's just it's kind of a shame, really. I was quite disappointed for Sunderland. I thought that they deserved the win, and you know, I thought, hardly seems fair for City. But I'm kind of quite pleased that Pellegrini did finally get that European trophy that, if you remember last week, I said he didn't have. So in that respect, but
he
no,
probably
no
took
consolation
your,
to you at all.
He probably took your words quite personally that I'll show that defellant.
It's possible someone may
have I'll show that defellant.
Is that what he sounds like?
No, that's me. That's Milan Mandarić.
Milan Mandarić is not from Chile, though, is he?
No. He's a man of the world.
We might have to work on your Chilean generic Chilean accent. But yeah, it's possible that someone may have mentioned the fact that he hasn't won a European trophy before to Manuel Pellegrini.
And then he went once.
It may not just be me. But
anyway, we could be back there in a couple of weeks. If we beat Hull, we'll be in the semi-finals of the FA Cup.
If you beat Hull,
back again.
Yeah.
And then who knows?
Then who does know? Because like you could be playing Arsenal or Everton then. So, there you go. Probably got a lot more chance there.
Mm.
Yeah, a bit of a funny week actually in football because Man United season, its roller coaster ride is actually turning into a really, really rubbish roller coaster ride at the moment, isn't it?
For them? It's like that one at the end of Brighton Pier.
Is that not very good? I don't do roller coasters anyway.
No, it's not a good roller coaster. No. It's all right. I mean, it's on the end of a pier. It is what it is. I mean, what can you expect? You know.
No.
Mm. I mean, if you want a decent roller coaster, then you've got to go. I think it's the Midlands seem to have all the best roller coasters. I may just be making all that up, but I mean, I just get the impression that all the best roller coasters are in the Midlands. Brighton on the end of a rickety pier.
Yeah.
That's a bit Man United, really.
That's a wonderful analogy.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, cheers. I mean, yeah, what were we talking about?
The fact that all English teams seem to do absolutely rubbish over the last couple of weeks in Europe.
Chelsea and
Tottenham as well. They turned it around a bit. They had a good 10 minutes against Dnipro in their Europa League match. So
I don't know to what extent. The Euro, of course. Speaking of Europa League, and again, apologies. This is the last time I will bring this up.
But that's fine.
The City's win and their almost certain qualification for the Champions League means that the Europa League spot now goes to the next one down. So that means there'll be a top six now qualifies for Europe.
Mm.
Because unfortunately, the runners-up don't qualify for Europa League from the League Cup. It's only the FA Cup.
Mm.
So there's all this is going to be a big scramble at the end of the season to avoid those fifth and sixth places. Because, you know, no one in England really wants them. Palace will qualify for Europe because everybody else will be like, get out of the way, we don't want to qualify for Europe. We'll just keep going. The next thing you know, we're like, oh look, we're seventh. And it's like, oh no, we've got to go to bloody Europe. Yeah. I don't think that will go down anyway. Sorry, I'm fantasising now. We were talking about Manchester United. We were about to slag off Man United. Let's not miss out on an opportunity to slag off Man United. Come on.
I think there's been too many opportunities to do that this season. What's more to say on the subject, really? It's just the fact that they went somewhere and lost again.
They went to Greece.
Yes.
And they lost.
Yes.
Now, I mean, I don't want to say that in any way to be pejorative about Greek football, but it isn't, generally speaking, as good as English football, and the Greek champions usually are not as good as the English champions. You would expect the English champions to win any football match against the Greek champions. Maybe 9 out of 10 the Greeks might win, but anyway.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens in the second leg, but that is not a good showing, is it really?
No, not at all. They've got it all to do.
Exactly.
They've got it all to do.
Well done.
Thank you.
Like, just like Schalke, I've got it all to do against Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's a bit more to do.
Poor guys.
Are they going to be sending out a full strength team?
I wonder whether or not they might do. They might rotate. I think they're planning on kidnapping the buying squad and then brainwashing them, dressing them up in Schalke kits and then sending them out there, and then they might have a chance. Well, the thing is, Schalke went to Bayern the following Saturday. They got hammered again.
Oh no, 5-1.
Got absolutely. I mean, they were 4-0 down after 28 minutes.
That's going to knock your confidence.
And you were just sitting there thinking, Christ, this is going to be a cricket score. But I think that if Bayern just went,
they've had enough. Leave him. He's had enough.
One thing about German football I saw myself this week was when Dortmund lost the other week, didn't they, against Hopeless Hamburg. And there was a superb goal. The
Hakan Çalhanoğlu.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was doing the rounds on Twitter very, very soon afterwards. And if you get the chance, listeners, catch it, because it's an absolutely brilliant free kick.
Yeah.
Terry, how would you describe that free kick? What?
Audacious is the term that I use
the angle I saw it on was from behind.
The best one is from behind. There's an angle from behind. It's a free kick. It's about 40 yards out.
It's just in front of the centre circle.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of
very central.
Beckham against Wimbledon range. There's no wall because the Dortmund players are thinking, well, he's not going to have a shoe from there, is he? And he did. And he went up and it looped and it swerved and it just bent in and just over past the goalkeeper's outstretched arm, who was probably perhaps, and could, if you wanted to be really critical, could have been close to his line. Mm. But then I don't think he could have foresaw exactly how this was going to go. And 9 times out of 10, he would have thought, it's just going to go over the bar.
It was
anyway.
The 90th minute as well, and they were losing 2-0.
They were 2-0 down, exactly, and the game was over. It was in. I mean, Çalhanoğlu did state afterwards, with a complete straight face, that this was something that he'd been practicing in the training ground, and it was very gratifying for him to be able to give it a go, under those circumstances, and it paid off. He's turning into a, he is a very good with dead ball specialist, Çalhanoğlu. He is a Turkish international. He's a very good player and is one that I'm sure we'll see a lot of, possibly for a different club in the years to come. So remember the name for those who don't follow the Bundesliga.
So watch that one.
The most amusing thing about that goal, though, for me, was the I have the Sky Sports football app on my phone. And on it, you can get live by-minute commentary on a lot of games. A lot of the time, though, in Europe, it's a very, very bland feed.
The game has kicked off.
There has
been a throw-in.
There was an incident. There has been a throw-in.
An event has occurred at this football match.
The description of the goal was goal, 90th minute, right-footed free kick into left-hand top corner. That was it.
Really? That's the best they could do.
That was it. Someone just sat there and like seen the goal go in and just described probably the most incidental parts of the goal point possible. Really.
Yeah, yeah, because that person doesn't actually like football. It's just something that they do for a job.
And they don't get it. You can feel the hate in every space there. It was like 90th minute, when do I go home?
It's cold.
Yeah.
I don't like football anyway. Yeah,
you're probably a Dortmund fan. It's like, this is what I learnt English for, is it?
Jurgen Klopp just sort of like almost found the nearest camera, turned around to it and kind of smiled and kind of sort of shrug of the shoulder, kind of, you know.
You see,
the breaks.
Yeah, kind of, and the thing is, like, after that, you see, that's a nice way to play the media, isn't it, really? Use the media, have a bit of a laugh with it, rather than just come up with some bullshit reason to try and sell your book, isn't it?
Your crap book
that no one wants to read.
No.
Yeah, for many other reasons other than the colour of your skin.
Do you think the colour of your skin has affected your ability to
become on? England captain? Why not?
It's definitely affected me because I've got a bit of a ginger tint to me.
I must admit, I think that and the fact that Alan Shearer was a lot better at football than me.
Yeah, and David Beckham.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, rub it in more, don't you?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I didn't get on as England captain.
Yeah, they don't like gingers. Yeah. Paul Scholes, he never captained
England. You see?
Yeah.
Well, he'll be the next one to come out.
He retired early, he didn't come out. Come out? What do you mean, come out?
I hadn't finished what I was going to say.
Sorry.
I mean, like, if you were going to write an autobiography, that would really sell it, wouldn't it?
Paul Scholes would never write an autobiography, though, would he? Because he's just far too modest and you know, I hesitate to say it, but he's quite dull, isn't he, really? I mean, he's sort of...
Oh, that doesn't stop people writing what about.
He's not a flamboyant, is he? He's not a flamboyant.
He isn't a flamboyant, but he's kind of, you know, he supports Oldham, and, you know, he doesn't particularly enjoy leaving, you know, the confines of Cheshire, so... Mm. Which is nice. It's nice to have that kind of parochialism in a player as talented as he was.
Yeah.
And he might have made a very good England captain, of course, were it not for the fact that he was pretty hideous at tackles from behind and retired quite early as well. So
he did, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know what Campbell's got to crow about, really. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if he thinks that he was harshly treated because of the colour of skin, that is one thing. But I mean, he was playing while Alan Shearer and David Beckham sort of consecutively were the captains of England. And they were quite big, good players. Very senior players in the dressing room, so understandable leaders. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something in it, but the trouble is that when you're saying something like this, when you've got a book coming out,
exactly,
it's difficult to kind of, you know, feel as though the person's being entirely sincere.
Yeah, especially when that book is being serialised in the Sunday Times.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was reticent to discuss this at all on this podcast because I felt that it was just publicising. Newspaper sales and book sales for something that we wouldn't want to do. I'd much rather try and plug Leon McKenzie's book, when we eventually get round to buying it, will be the subject of our Sound of Football book review.
Yes, club, exactly. Whatever we've called it. Yes, and we certainly won't be reading Sol's book, and we encourage you not to read it.
We would say that ideally you should just not listen to what we just said, but apart from this. Don't read that book because, you know, it won't be very good. It'll probably be very self-serving with many glaring omissions.
Yes.
Many glaring. Will there ever be a rainbow?
Sol Campbell. Campbell, yes. Oh, a rainbow on a Sol Campbell book. Ooh, yeah. You better watch out about accusations
like
that.
Yeah, you can't go flinging things like that around.
Flinging rainbows around.
Yeah.
Above the streets and houses, rainbows climbing high. Everyone can see it's glowing over the sky.
Yeah, I've noticed thing coming over the last few weeks that there's been a bit more of a build-up in the amount of singing that we've
been doing. Yeah, there's been a bit of singing.
Yeah, are we building up to a musical episode, do you think?
Oh, I'm up for that.
No, no.
Yes.
All right, then, but I scripted.
Okay.
You heard it here first, listeners.
Sound of Football, the musical.
Yeah.
It could work.
It could.
Yep, it could work.
Yes. Well, of course, we may not be here next week, though, because obviously like it could be global Armageddon, though, couldn't it?
Oh, right, of course, yeah. That's assuming that we've not been blown out by the Russians.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing that's going on in the news, isn't it?
Yeah.
In other news.
We're all going to die, so it doesn't matter anyway.
I'm just wondering, Russia in the World Cup in the summer, are they going to...
I don't know. I mean, like, you know...
Are they going to be sending a team? Are they going to be sending a division?
I'm all for like a bit of 80s nostalgia, but yeah. Like, this is a bit too much of it.
Yeah, it's really getting a bit... It's a bit not retro. It's like real.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
I was quite happy with my wars being over like in the Middle East somewhere. You know, it's like this.
I would be like, if we're going to go 80s retro, I'd much rather it be sort of like, you know, tight shorts. You know? I mean, I don't like tight shorts, but I'd rather have tight shorts than like, you know, Armageddon. Armageddon's, you know. My first choice of something to do. It interferes with the football calendar. We've had the weather, and you know, will we ever get to see Whiteleaf play if we're all, you know, glowing with radioactive fallout?
Yeah.
But the green shirts will match quite comfortably.
The colour of our skin.
The leaf will have will have the advantage in that respect. They can bring it on. Do your worst, Mr. Putin. Do your worst.
No, if you're listening, Mr. Putin.
We're completely neutral in this whole
I for one welcome our Russian overlords.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that he looks gay walking around in his bare chest killing animals. I don't think that at all.
But let's face it. I mean, like, you know, Putin. I mean, you know, I think he's got like a reason to feel a bit worried about gays, because obviously, like, he must think that everyone is gay for him. Mm. I mean, it stands to reason, doesn't it? Really?
Yeah. Well, the fact that he never wears a shirt.
Yeah.
He puts it out there.
He's like Simon Cowell, isn't he?
The problem with me is he says everybody wants me.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. So if Russia don't win the World Cup.
Well,
is that going to cause problems? He's touchy.
I don't think we can really sort of like look at the what's going on in that part of the world and sort of think, well, how's it going to affect football? I think that's probably a bit tiny bit crass.
And yet, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the first thing I thought, but it was at least the second or third.
All right, that's okay. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Well, yeah, with Gazprom losing money hand over fist over the last couple of days in the financial market, who's to say where Chelsea will end up next season?
Well, this is true.
Yes. But hey, you know, this is just gallows humour, isn't it, really, before the nuclear warhead strike.
Yes, indeed.
It's a nice positive episode, this one.
I know, yes.
To end on a high.
Well, yeah, why not? We'll be like astride a nuclear missile, like we're waving our cowboy hats in the air.
Woohoo! And so on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we'll round it up for the week. And possibly forever. But hopefully we'll see you next time, listeners, you know, from our concrete bunker 20 feet underground. And but stay with us after the music, because we've got some more Top Trumps. Your selection. Oh, yes.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Sound of Football.
Top trumps.
If you were listening last time, listeners, you would have known that you won. A famous victory indeed. Yeah, and that was cruel, wasn't it? You thought you were close there, didn't you?
I thought I'd done it.
You thought you'd done it. I thought I'd done enough.
I thought that is it now.
Yes. Yeah, but the listeners were only given very, very short notice on this one. The card went up about 9 o'clock on Monday night, just before we started recording. We got a response, and I'm ready to play now, on your behalf. So, I have Philipp Lahm, Bayern Munich and Germany.
Hmm.
Because he's not the tallest player in the world.
No, he's not the tallest player in the world, mate.
And the listeners didn't go for height. What they went for was international caps. Data correct as of the 30th of March 2012. 84.
Ooh.
84 international caps for Philipp Lahm.
Oh man, that is brutal.
Brutal indeed.
My God.
Jan?
I've got Gareth Bale.
Oh, he's very young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
33.
Oh, 33. He's got a lot in there though, hasn't he? Terry?
I have.
Yes.
Didier Drogba.
Oh.
Oh.
Hello. There's a grin. There's a grin.
Oh, there's a big grin there, isn't there?
There's a big grin here, and I'll tell you why. You'll know why I'm grinning so much.
Yeah. Are you thinking of Jenny Agutter again?
Let's try and keep Jenny Agutter out of this just for a moment. I don't want to spoil the tension. Cats. 84.
Can it be true?
We have a tie.
We have a tie.
For the first time in Sound of Football Top Trump's history,
this is
we have a tie.
President, did we have to get biscuits out or something like that? Was that my school? Sorry.
listeners, this is unprecedented.
We actually don't know what to do.
What happens now? These go into the bank.
The bank, you say?
And then we have to play for it next week.
Oh, we have to wait.
I've only got one card left.
Dun, 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 dun.
So this
well, be... unless we go with caps again for the next card.
No, let's not do that.
No, we won't be doing that.
Okay.
No, I'm fine for us to do that.
No. We'll hope the listeners choose again then.
Listeners choose again
listeners
next
have
week.
Next honour. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Listeners choose again. Tune in next week, listeners. It could be Terry's last go.
It could be.
Yes. Until next week, listeners. It's goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Do